At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Marriage is between a man and a woman.
And so does
Barack Obama nor I support
the redefining
the Constitution.
A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my decision.
Smoke could be seen for blocks away. And protesters hurled trash cans and dive bombs of laughter. The bill is working intense partisan fighting.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Bob and Weave. I'm the Weave.
And I'm the Bob.
Yeah, that's the Bob. And right now, this is going to get a little confusing because we're recording remotely.
It's interesting having a trying to have a flowing conversation like this when I can't see you.
Yeah, that is going to be difficult because typically I point at you a lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, so sorry, guys, for last week that we didn't have an episode. We had to do some rearranging to make this work out. And I'm sure it's going to be fine. It's going to be a little weird because we can't see each other. Also, Zach, food for thought. Normally, when we're doing these, because we cut from camera to camera, you're free to do whatever you want when someone else is talking.
Yeah.
But in this case, the cameras are on us the entire time in this split screen. So, like, I'm scared to death I'm going to forget that, and the whole world's going to watch me, you know, picking my nose or doing something silly like that.
Oh, this will be good. So you are in MBI Studios.
That's right, at home base.
And I am not in MBI Studios. So we're going to have fun today, I guess. We're going to try this out.
You're in NBI Remote 1. And I think Mike's office is Remote 2.
Sounds good.
So this week, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be discussing a very important topic. We're going to be talking about that bitch Carol Baskins.
Oh, that bitch, Carol Baskins. Yeah, we're going to talk about the Tiger King.
Yeah. I'm afraid we're going to keep talking over each other because I can't see when you're about to talk. So
yeah,
bear with us, people. Yeah. Dude, one thing I will say is this. I had no interest in watching the Tiger King. Becky had watched some of it, and she kept telling me it was crazy. And then forms of social media is full of some pretty awesome memes from the Tiger King.
Yeah.
And during the quarantine, I finally broke down and watched it. And then I messaged Zach. I'm like, hey, we should talk about this one. And I got an astounding hell yes from Zach.
Yeah. I don't know what made us watch it, but we were just scrolling through one day. And I think it was a lot of social media. There was a lot of people talking about it. I'm like, well, we got to see what this damn thing is about. And then we watched it. And then we got sucked into it. And then we couldn't stop watching it.
I haven't quite figured out the... I assumed, so there was that guy, what was the guy's name? Rick, that was like producing Joe Exotic's internet show and was supposedly making a reality show with him. I assumed that we were seeing a lot of his footage, which we must have been, but then it gets confusing because there's that whole fire later on where supposedly all the footage gets burned.
Yeah, there was a lot of confusing things to me with this whole thing. Like you said, because I thought it was his footage too, but then he explodes about his footage being burned. But my big question is, who the hell is profiting off this? Because they made everybody just seem to be jackasses and threw everybody under the bus. So who the hell is actually profiting off this thing?
You know, that's, if you looked up at all, I know you, like, as I said before we started rolling, the entirety of my research on the Tiger King was that I watched it. I've done zero research beyond that.
Yeah, I really haven't done any either.
But, you know, just the way the industry, TV industry works, you know, somebody had to buy somebody's life rights for this, you know, and somebody had to turn over and license all that footage that we saw. And I just can't figure out who did it? Because, I mean, Joe Exotic obviously is in jail.
Yeah.
And that bitch Carol Baskins, I don't think that she had access to all that footage. It's kind of baffling, really.
Yeah, and Doc Antle. I mean, all those guys, the Jeff Lowe, like, they all would have to sign consent forms and waivers to be part of this.
Mm-hmm.
So they would know what was out there. It's really baffling to me.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is if, well, and it must have been that all of the footage didn't get destroyed in the fire. And by the way, we're assuming that if you're listening to this, you've seen the series. So I guess we should say spoiler alert here, because if you've seen it, you know what we're talking about. If you haven't, you're probably a little confused. But if you haven't, go on Netflix, watch The Tiger King. It's, what is it, 7 parts?
I think it's 7 parts. Yeah, just pause this right now. Come back to this. Watch it. It's worth watching. It's a train wreck.
Yeah, and if you're like us or most people in the country right now, you really don't have shit else to do, so you might as well watch it. That's kind of how we got sucked into it one night. But, you know, the basics of it is, you know, we start learning about this guy, this very eccentric character who goes by Joe Exotic. Do you have written down there what his actual last name is?
Nope, because it's changed 14 times or something. It was Maldonado, and then it was Maldonado Passage, but I don't know what his name was to begin with, and it was a strange name.
Yeah, but then he started going by Joe Exotic. So he's an angry, gun-toting, homosexual, mulleted, tiger-raising. There's layers to this gentleman. There are some layers to this guy. He's like the most complex character I think I've ever seen in any kind of reality television anywhere.
No, he really is, and he has a taste for straight men.
Yeah, that was crazy too. Like it's hard not to jump all over the place because the show kind of did, but
yeah,
he married two different men,
mm-hmm.
both of whom were straight.
Yep, at the same time, polygamy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, let's forget. Let me add polygamist to that list. Like I don't get, and they kind of hinted on. And maybe I missed some of it, but was it what was drawing these guys to him? Was it drugs? Why were they sticking around?
Yeah, it was drugs and tigers.
The drugs and tigers. And it seems like the tigers have been, because there was the what was the guy's name? Jeff Lowe.
Jeff Lowe from Vegas.
Yeah, and he used the tigers to get women. So yeah. Apparently, if you have tigers, you can have sex with anyone you want to.
No, we thought this too. My wife and I sat and talked about this. So Doc Antle has all those girlfriends. The guy from South Carolina, Myrtle Beach.
Was he the dude with the gray hair and ponytail dude?
Yes, yes. He okay. was the dude that was Bhagavan or whatever the hell his name was.
Uh-huh.
That stands for God, basically. He had a bunch of girlfriends, one of which he said was the blonde with big teeth. So that was interesting to me because I don't think it was her teeth he was talking about.
Right. She had some big personalities.
Yeah. So we have that. We have the Jeff Lowe from Vegas, who is using mm-hmm. these tigers to get multiple women. We have Joe Exotic, who's using the tigers to get multiple men.
Straight men.
Straight men. And then if you back up, Carol Baskins, that bitch Carol Baskins, her husband, which I'm sure we'll get into, not Harold or whatever the hell his name is, Howard, but Don Lewis, he had multiple girlfriends.
Right, and that's the dead husband.
That's the dead husband. So apparently, if you have tigers, you just get whatever you want.
Evidently, and you get away with whatever you want. Well, I guess not so much because Joe Exotic didn't eventually get away with everything. But then what do you actually get? I don't know. Dude, so let me just try to real quick break down the progression of me watching these episodes. So I'm watching it, and immediately I'm like, well, this guy's interesting to watch, meaning Joe Exotic, so... You know, and it's like kind of funny, and he's raising these tigers, and it's like a rescue. And then comes in that bitch Carol Baskins, who's got her own sanctuary. Did you get the feeling in the first couple of episodes where she is like on a mission to shut down the inhumane treatment of these tigers and our big cats? And she has her, and so she's pissed off that Joe Exotic is charging people money to come in and. It seemed like see his cats. I guess the issue was that they were interacting with the cubs and petting the cubs. But then it's like, then they go back to her sanctuary and she's charging people $300 to come in and see her fucking tigers that are in captivity in cages, just like Joe Exotic's.
Yeah. I felt like it was do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. It was like they were doing the same thing. The only exception is that Joe Exotic was, was breeding the animals so that there would be cubs.
Yeah.
Because he was making his living from people coming in and petting the cubs. And at one point, he kind of had me. There was kind of a good point when he was said, well, you're looking at something in an endangered species. Why would you not want to continue breeding an endangered species? Which made a little bit of sense, except for the fact that they're all being kept in cages. They're not like they're breeding them and releasing them into the jungles.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the thing that I got about with that, so they talked about that. They talked about the captivity a lot. And I'm not by any means, again, like saying this is awesome. But I mean, if you watch those cats interact with him, they loved him.
It seemed like it.
They were pets. You know what I mean? They were like, my dog would come up and snuggle you and rub on you. I mean, those cats seemed to really like him. Now, I understand that's not their habitat, but I mean, they're being cared for. At least it seemed like they're being cared for.
Well, at least at the beginning, you know, there was an arc to that. At the beginning, it was like, these cats look super happy and healthy and they're being loved on and it's this great situation. And then by the end, we see, you know, they like don't have enough food to feed them all. And, you know, he's getting pissed off at them. And then we find out that he's, you know, they said killing them, but he says euthanizing them. Who knows what the situation was. But it definitely, what my wife found out right before I came out here, she was saying that there was some sanctuary somewhere that ended up taking the majority of the tigers after he went to prison. And apparently Jeff Lowe kind of shut the place down or he was moving it, whatever happened. But they said the tigers were very malnourished by the time they got him. But I don't know how much of that is Joe Exotic's fault because that Jeff Lowe guy took over after he went to jail.
Yeah, that's true. This whole thing is a mess.
But yeah, I mean, I went through these swings of where at the beginning I'm like, this guy. I mean, obviously, I don't want to be Joe Exotic's friend, mm-hmm. but as a character that I was watching on TV, I found him to be interesting, fun, funny. You know, it's just fun to watch him. And then, you know, we keep saying that bitch Carol Baskins because like 500 times during the series. Every time Joe talks about her, it's like, that bitch Carol Baskins. And, you know, so, and there's the 1 million internet memes going around about that bitch Carol Baskins. But she kind of seems like the villain. And then there's kind of a shift where by the end, you're like, okay, maybe Joe's the bad guy and she's not so much of a bad guy. And then we find out that maybe she fed her ex-husband to the tigers and then she's a bit of a bad guy too.
Yeah, that's a gnarly story. So we'll set this up here. Carol Baskins, we find out over the course of this, had come into a lot of money because of her former husband who had passed away, a guy named Don Lewis. And Don Lewis was into cats. He's actually who got her into cats. And he had all this money and was a very eccentric playboy, would go all over the place. Like I said before, had girlfriends all over the place. You know, it was known that he had a girlfriend in Puerto Rico and he would go back and forth to see this girlfriend in Puerto Rico. And then magically, he disappears one day. And no one has any idea. His van is found at an airport, and they say that he flew to Puerto Rico and disappeared. And then magically, 5 years after he's disappeared, he can be legally claimed as dead, and she immediately legally claims him as dead so she can get his inheritance. And on top of that, you know, she put together a power of attorney. She actually took his power of attorney and changed his power of attorney. So she was the power of attorney. On the power of attorney letter, it literally said, of my disappearance. And this was supposed to be before he disappeared. So who the fuck would put that on a power of attorney?
Oh, wait, I didn't catch that. So, that's right. So it didn't say, it said, in the event that I disappear or
yes.
that there's a disappearance, then she gets power of attorney.
Yeah, it says death or disappearance, I believe, or something along those lines.
Oh,
but who the fuck would put disappearance on there?
Right. Well, and then it's also apparently he was telling multiple people right before he disappeared that he was going to divorce her. He was leaving Carol.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he just ends up just disappeared. And then, you know, yeah, they says his car is found at the airport, but there's no flight records of any kind that he flew anywhere.
Yeah.
So people think that he got fed to the tigers. That part, like, that was really the most intriguing part of the whole thing. And it really wasn't. They touched on it, but they didn't get into it as much as I would have loved to seen them actually get into that to try to investigate what happened to Carol Baskin's ex-husband.
You know, and the more you think about it, I mean, that's a pretty legit way to do it. You know, you have these access to these animals, like you want to get rid of somebody. That's a way to do it because who the fuck is going to go searching through their cages for any leftovers?
Right. Oh, and by the time, you know, anybody realizes maybe that's an option, the tigers would have eaten him, digested him, pooped him out, and then that would have been shoveled away with all the rest of the shit.
And the one funny, really damning thing that she says is completely later. I mean, it's probably two or three episodes later that she says as a side note where Joe Exotic is saying that somebody put something on his shoe so the tiger would attack his shoe. And she goes, why would you do that? If you want the tiger to attack somebody, you put sardine oil all over them. And then that's it. Oh, it just disappears. You're like, what the fuck is that?
I, you know what? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, she totally says, like, if she's like, if you want a tiger to attack somebody, you put sardine oil all over them. And then it just goes away. Like, she didn't even say it.
It's like, wait a minute, what? Well, and you think about, so what I was really interested in with the disappearance of her ex-husband, like, the man clearly was murdered. And this is how I know. Because this documentary just went out to, yeah, I'm sure, it was so popular, tens of millions of people have watched this.
Mm-hmm.
So if her husband, first of all, so we want to believe that he got in a plane and ran away somewhere, which meant he just gave up all of his fortune, all of his everything. But then years later, this comes up, and now the whole world's looking for him because of this documentary or whatever you want to call it. So, like, how? There's no way at this point someone wouldn't be like, "Oh yeah, I know that guy. He lives down here. He's in Venezuela with me, or wherever he's at." Like the
no,
fact that
absolutely.
Now that this is aired and still no sign of him, that dude got eaten by a tiger.
So, I mean, you say that. This literally happened a month ago here in Bridgman. There was a pedophile on the run named William Stinson, and I'll say his name. I don't care. There was a pedophile on the run. I mean, it was a really heinous act. He was on the run. Joe Walsh has a show, I think, called Manhunt or On the Run or On the Hunt or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a nationally televised show, and they put that out, and literally within 2 days, they found the guy.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I'm actually working on a story right now. We're going to do it as a podcast and then maybe later adapt it to TV. Similar situation. I don't want to get into the details of it, but not entirely different situation than what we have with this Carol Baskins thing. But that's the idea, is like the world is so small now because of the internet that Becky and I watched that show live. We're like, oh my God, that guy was from Bridgman. He's been on the run for what, decades, mm-hmm. for forever. And as soon as you put it out to the world, like, hey, we're looking for this guy, it's like, ding, 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 he's right here. And that's why that show's so effective. And the fact that that didn't happen here, to me, is a pretty clear indicator that that dude's dead.
Yeah. Did I say Joe Walsh? Isn't Joe Walsh the guitarist for the Eagles? I fucked that up. It's all good.
John Walsh? Is that what you're looking for?
John Walsh. That guy. Not Joe Walsh. John Walsh. Right.
God, it depends on how excited, how energetic I want to be when I edit this. But
no, leave it. It's funny.
I know, but I was thinking it'd be funny if right now, if I put in a little clip of Joe Walsh playing a guitar.
Yeah, it is what it is.
We'll see. You know, I have all this free time. Like, you know, let's take a break for a minute and talk coronavirus.
Oh.
Not negative stuff about the, not bad stuff about the coronavirus, but like, what's life looking like for you? Because we haven't seen each other. What's life looking like for you in NBI Remote Studio One with your quarantine with you and the kids at home?
Well, so I am the only one that's left the house in the past 2 weeks. I'm the grocery getter. I've also mm-hmm. been getting groceries from my grandparents, so they don't have to leave, which has been funny. I'll get groceries and literally set it on their front porch and leave, and they carry them in the house. But it's been strange, you know. Not my business is personal contact, you know. So I can't. There's no way. I mean, granted, the governor shut our business down by government mandate by saying tattoo studios. But even if I wanted to, I mean, we are a personal contact facility. I mean, that's what we do. So we can't do anything. So I've literally been staring at a wall for 2 weeks. I have been, and I say this not for applaud or anything, just out of sheer boredom, I've been working out like 2 hours a day every day because I don't have anything else to do.
I saw that. I saw your post that you were hitting some personal bests and you were in great shape. I'm jealous because I've been doing the exact opposite.
Well, see, that's what I was afraid of, is I was afraid that I would sit here and just eat and eat and eat. So I've been trying to just, I have that like idle hands thing. Like if I'm not busy, I'm going to do something stupid. And obviously now I'm old, so it's eating.
Right.
So if I just keep myself busy by working out for 2 hours a day, that it gets me by.
Yeah. See, I'm the same way, but it's weird. Like, and I need to, I've committed myself to starting to run and do something. I've been doing a little bit of working out, but man, I had a fucking Pop-Tart for breakfast before I walked in here, a s'mores Pop-Tart before I came in here. It's been, to me, it's been My issue has been not so much eating a lot of food, but I just eat out of boredom. I'm one of those guys.
Oh, me too.
And I'm the same way. I'm on the go all the time, and I can't, you know, that's why I think Becky and I get along so well, and we love doing stuff together, but Becky is very happy, you know, like a Saturday afternoon, like today when we're recording this, to just hang out and watch TV and just have a relaxing day to unplug. I can't do that. I have to be doing something. And it's like, there's only so much I can do. I've been doing a lot of fishing when I can get out, and I took the boys out fishing the other day, and I went fishing with my brother yesterday, who's kind of on my quarantine list because I house-sit his dog, or babysit his dog.
That makes sense.
He's here with me every day, morning and afternoon, dropping off Hank and picking him up. But it's like, other than that, I started tying flies again. I'm trying to do anything to years ago, I used to be a fly fisherman a lot, and I tied my own flies. I ordered all kinds of materials for that. It's like, I'm just trying to find something to do. And it's like turned into, it's 4 o'clock. Nobody's here. I can't stand not talking to people. So I like, you know, I crack open a Busch Light, sit there and never like drinking to excess, but like every afternoon I'm having like 3 or 4 beers and just like wandering, like picking out the kids' snacks from the fridge. Like I'm just turned into a fat piece of shit. And it's really upsetting to me that you're going the other way with this.
Well, see, I'm a very, very competitive person too. And I have a friend that is very into fitness right now. And him and I go back and forth. So I sit there and work out for 2 days and then, or for 2 hours, and then text him what I did. And then he texts me what he did. And then I got to go beat that. You know, I mean, it's something to do. It's playing a game right now.
Well, I'm glad it's working. Is that TJ you're talking about?
Yeah, that's TJ.
Yeah. Who's in the same boat as you. He's one of your tattoo artists.
Yep. He's in the exact same boat as me.
So luckily both of you have, workout facilities in your house and you're both stuck home. Which the sad part is, I have a massive full gym in my house too. I can do whatever I want, and I went in there and changed a light bulb the other day.
Yeah, but it involves stairs. You got to get down the stairs. I know. And around the corner.
I know. I need to get. You know, it takes like what, 21 days to create a habit. Like this all started sliding down for me when about deer camp, because I was in. I mean, generally I work out every day. That's part of my routine. I get up early in the morning. I work out before I come to work. Mm-hmm. And it's like I got out of the habit around, you know, when I went to deer camp for a week and it just start to get back into it. Then the holidays and blah, 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 bullshit excuse. And it's like I've just gotten out of the habit. And now it's like, well, nothing else to do. I'm going to get in the greatest shape of my life. That's what I said 2 weeks ago. And then I had a fucking s'mores Pop-Tart for breakfast before making a podcast on a Saturday morning.
It's good for you.
Can you do me a favor? Can you text me every day and say, did you work out today, you fat piece of shit?
Not afraid.
Every day. I want it to, did you work out today? And then call me a fat piece of shit. And that'll get me going. As a matter of fact, all of you, when you watch this, go ahead and message me on Instagram or Twitter or wherever social media find me and be like, hey, fat boy, did you work out today?
Oh, your DMs are going to blow up.
I know. I'll see if we can't get this... get the situation under control. But anyway, back to your regular scheduled program and our discussion on The Tiger King.
So the very first episode, they show you two characters, one of which is missing an arm and one of which is missing two legs. And that was my first thing. I was like, are you just going to go buy this? Like, what is happening here? And they do for like
a couple episodes in before we find out.
Yeah. It's a ways before you find out, because you're just like, you're just going to scroll past this like nothing happened. This woman is missing an arm, and this dude has no legs. Like, what the fuck is happening?
And the funny part is then how that shakes out, because I believe first you hear the guy with no legs is like, everybody thinks they got eaten by tigers, but they didn't. It was a, what do you say, bungee jumping or zip lining accident?
Zip lining accident, yeah.
Yeah. Zip is like, oh, okay, God, that's what you made you think. And then it shows the girl, you know, with the no arm, and then it's like, oh. Here's when they videoed the day the tiger ripped her fucking arm off.
They had video of it. Like, who the hell is still rolling video?
Well, they said that was one of the weirdest things about Joe, was they said he videoed everything all the time. It's like he fancied himself this kind of like director of some sort.
Did you catch the most, I don't know what I want to call it. I was going to say like epic swag moment of that whole part. When Joe put on his EMS jacket.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that. Where did he get it?
Yeah, where did he get that? Where did that come from?
When the ambulances are all rushing to the facility, Joe comes walking out in a fucking EMS jacket.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make fuck? What? And let's not forget at all about Joe Exotic's music videos.
Oh, those were amazing. But hold on. Before we get to the music videos, I also liked when he went into the guest shop to let the guests know that the park was closed. He didn't just like, hey, we had an incident, guys. The park's going to be closed today. We're sorry. He goes in and goes, I'm going to be honest. One of the tigers ripped our trainer's arm off. We're going to be closed today.
Right. You know, he just walks in and asks, all right, y'all, I was going to be honest with you. Before you hear it on the news, one of the tiger ripped the fucking arm off one of our trainers. So you can have your money back or get a refund or a rain check or whatever.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Yeah, and then the music videos. The music videos just kept, they were so good. They were so bad and so good.
I didn't bring a computer in here with me, and I should have. I didn't even bring my phone in here into the booth with me, but someone has to know. I don't know if you've got any way you can look this up, but that cannot be him singing.
I don't believe it is.
So, but he has presented it as though that is him singing, right? Like, he's not.
No, he did. I'm going to look it up real quick. He did present it as himself.
That's what I thought. I thought Becky said it was some kind of Milli Vanilli thing, but I don't know for sure. But it is. I'm telling you, if you're listening to us to hear us talk, thanks, by the way. But you haven't watched this, you got to see it. It's fucking bananas. This guy's got, he carries around the revolver on his waist all the time, and he's got these ridiculous music videos of him singing, and the lyrics are fucking priceless. Like the one, God dang it, I wish I'd brought my computer in here, because there's got to be the one that he made about Carol Baskins, where it's got the lady dressed up like her.
I still like the I saw a tiger and tiger saw a man.
Right? They're all crazy. All of them are nuts.
All right. He did not sing his songs. It's totally a Milli Vanilli thing. And the musicians are Vince Johnson and Danny Clinton are who are the different voices for him. So,
okay. Now we know. That was not known. I mean, he didn't like produce fucking albums. Like, can I go on iTunes and buy a Joe Exotic song?
I don't know, maybe. But yeah, it says mystery musicians, so I think it was not known. I think he was trying to play it off like it was his stuff.
You talk to the people for a minute. I'll be right back. Keep talking.
Yeah, I mean, just insane to me that he tried to do this. Like, just tried to play that off like it was his music. And the music, it's country music, but it's hilarious. And the music videos are so cheesily shot. You know, the one says, the hunter saw the tiger and needs to put down his guns. And it's like his husband that has no teeth.
I'm back.
Oh, okay, good. No, I was just discussing the music video with his first husband that has no teeth. When the hunter needs to lay down his guns.
Jesus Christ. Oh, okay, what I did, I grabbed not only my computer just in case I do find it, but I want to find on my phone. What was his, was he listed as Joe Exotic?
I just looked up Joe Exotic music, and then like it came up.
Did it like show his albums? Joe Exotic and artists in Apple Music.
I don't know. I just Googled it. We probably should have done this before we got on here.
I know, but it's more fun this way.
Also, anybody watching on YouTube can see this lovely big cat that's been sitting with me the whole time. If you want to, in the comments, name it, because I haven't named it yet. So I think it needs a name.
You have a new cat?
No. It's a giant cat. It's a big cat. It's a cheetah. It's full grown. It's just been sitting here the whole time. I've been petting it. People on YouTube will definitely see it.
You know, next time we do this, maybe we should do fucking FaceTime so we can actually see each other and know what's going on.
I mean, that would work. That's probably a good idea, huh?
We should definitely do that next time because what's happening.
Yeah, I never thought about that. No, it's good. It's way funnier if you don't see the video because you don't know what's happening.
Until
you also don't know there's a sign behind me that says Zach Exotic.
Well, now I do. Now you've ruined the surprise. I'm going to look up real quick where can I buy Joe Exotic.
It's so good. Music. It's so bad. It's so good and so bad.
What happened, Joe Exotic? I saw a tiger on Amazon Music. Oh, wait, here we go. What are we got some, I'm plugging my computer.
Oh no, here we go.
Oh, this is going to mess up mic because I don't have that track going, but that's all right. On video, you'll be able to see it. If you want to hear this video, this part of it, you need to go on to video. Let me see here. Joe Exotic. Okay, Exotic here, kitty, and guitar lessons. Joe Exotic.
Oh, you're really digging deep now.
I just, this is what's coming up on YouTube. So it may just be somebody parodying it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know where he came up with the idea that he was a musician and like why he thought that was a good idea. I mean, his attire is sweet. He's got that mullet and like the sequins jacket and all that. I mean, just ridiculous.
Right. It would appear that this is some other dude playing Joe Exotic.
If you haven't seen it, just look it up. You can find it. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm so upset. Can we hear it? Nope. All right. Sorry, I'm gonna quit fucking with it.
They're from like a while ago too. Like this comes up as 2013 on my computer. I Saw a Tiger. I think that's his theme song.
I don't know why. They said on Amazon Music you can buy it.
I don't know. Remember, we're in different locations. I'm in the satellite studio. I'm in space.
All right. Anyway, I'm gonna let it go. I'm getting obsessed with trying to find Joe Exotic's music. But yeah, the music videos were absolutely crazy. And the best one when he starts accusing Carol Baskins of killing that bitch, Carol Baskins, of killing her ex-husband, and he makes a music video with a lady dressed up like her, and the song is all about feeding her husband to the tigers, and this woman is like feeding the tigers chunks of meat through the fence.
So do you really think, we're fast forwarding a little bit because we're going to jump around, but we're fast forwarding a little bit. Do you really think that he was paying to have Carol Baskins murdered, or do you think that was just a plot to get him?
No, I think he was. I don't know how serious he was though, because the guy's, but he's crazy. I think that he most certainly talked about doing that. And that he
obviously talked about it because, I mean, but he so openly talked about it that that's why I was like, I don't think he would actually try to do it because he so openly talked about it. You know, he's got that video of him. He's like got a jar on the table. He's like, I'm going to have that bitch Carol Baskin's head in this jar.
Right. Well, you know, I think I don't know if I missed it or not, but did they really get into much his drug use?
I don't know if they did get into it or not. I mean, I'm sure it was there.
Because I've heard they didn't really seem to, but I've heard that he had a severe drug problem, and that's part of the reason why he was so fucking crazy. I think that, yeah, he's obviously talked about it. I think that what was the guy's name? The guy that was weirdly sitting in a bathtub in blue jeans for one of his interviews?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the hitman. I can't think of what his name was. Alan. I think it was Alan.
Can we talk about why was he in the, while they're interviewing him, he's wearing no shirt and looks like blue jeans and just steps into a jacuzzi tub that's empty, or was it full? I don't even remember. And then sits down to finish the interview right there.
I mean, it was an interesting choice for the director. I mean, you've been on TV. How did they offer that to you? Maybe you should shoot a film in the or a scene in the bathtub.
The last time they offered me for that, I declined and decided to sit in a chair with my shirt on instead.
Oh,
but it was an option. It's always on the table to sit in a bathtub. Yeah, that was a
strange option. I have no idea. We'd said the same thing. As soon as he got in the bathtub, we're like, why the fuck is this? Why are they doing this? What is this?
I know.
Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, I think Joe probably offered to pay him. And then when somebody was like, I'll do it, man. You know, he's like, cool, here's some money and go do it. I don't know that it was ever actually going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Again, though, if you haven't watched the show, then that's, it kind of ends with Joe, and he's in prison for 22 years, which they didn't make real clear. They charged him with conspiracy to commit murder for hire.
Yeah.
But then once they had that charge on him, then they had a bunch of people testify against him, and they charged him with like 19 counts of like animal cruelty and neglect for things he did with the tigers.
Yeah. Which I, you know, going back to Truth and Justice, I mean, I think that's just the plea bargaining deal. They got him for one charge, and they said, you know, they went to all these other people and they said, you're going to go down with him unless you give us something.
Yeah, because the reality is they should have all been. If Joe needed to be in prison, they all needed to be in prison.
No, 100%.
They're all doing the same shit.
100%. You know, just like the guy that took the money for the murder for hire, like he didn't get anything.
Nothing, because but they gave him a deal because he testified against Joe, and so he got out of it.
Yeah. Then they had the fat Chucky doll guy. That, I mean, that dude was weird.
Right, I don't even know. He was.
Oh, he was the strip club owner, pawn shop owner, had a lemur that was illegal.
So many weird shot choices. Like all of a sudden we cut to that guy, the chubby little Chucky doll looking guy, yeah, riding a jet ski for like 5 minutes with no explanation whatsoever, just out of the blue. There he is riding a fucking jet ski.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about.
Why?
I don't know. Oh, that just happened. Yeah, that came up on the screen. You're like, what is happening right now?
Well, I'm like, are they about to roll the final credits? Like, this guy rides off into the sunset. But nope, there's a whole nother fucking episode. We just wanted to show you the fat guy on the the jet ski for some reason. It's like, why? Why did they do that? Oh, and one of the was heartbreaking and crazy parts of the show was when the guy seemingly accidentally committed suicide right in front of another worker.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, that was insane. And they have the video of it. Obviously you can't, he's off video, but you can see the guy's reaction.
Right.
This is not humorous, but I find this very humorous because I'm a kind of a sick son of a bitch. When he did it and the guys, you see the guy's reaction that's watched him do it. I thought they paused the video because the guy sits there for like 6 seconds without moving.
Yeah.
Like, I just legit shocked. Thought they just paused the video because he doesn't move. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there with his hands to his face like the Home Alone kid.
Right. Yeah, and it wasn't paused. And I wonder, so, you know, there was a surveillance camera. And if I understood it right, the guy seemed to be kind of suicidal in general, but he was always pointing the gun at people and screwing around with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, apparently, I think they were talking about that instance where he was pointing the gun to his head. And the guy that we see on the camera is like, dude, what are you doing? Stop doing that. He's like, you can't shoot somebody without a clip in the, without a magazine in it or whatever. And then puts a gun to his head and pulls the trigger. And apparently there was a bullet in the chamber and bam. And you see the flash and then you see the reaction of the other guy. It just reminds me of that scene from Boondock Saints. If you've seen it. I think Zach, you said you've never seen it. Which is
I've
stupid,
never seen it. No, I have no desire to see it.
Well, there's a scene in there where they accidentally shoot a cat that gets, speaking of cats, splattered all over the wall. And that's what Norman Reedus's character says. Did that just fucking happen? That's what it seemed like to me.
Let's talk crazy. About the gun safety in this documentary, or the lack thereof.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that.
So there's a few rules of gun safety. And anybody that knows this already knows I'm a big proponent of guns. I'm a professional shooter. I do a lot with this. And, you know, one of the things is you always assume every gun is loaded. You never put your finger on the trigger. You always, you know, you never point a gun at something unless you're willing to destroy whatever that is. So you never point your gun at somebody, anybody. Now, when they film movies, when they film things, there's ways to make shots look believable. I would never say to point a gun at somebody, but if you're going to do it for film, you know, they make sure it's unloaded. They make sure everything, you know, I mean, they really double check.
Well, they're fake guns a lot of times.
Yeah, fake guns. I mean, they do things to make sure that it's right. So the very first time you see Joe point a gun at the cameraman, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's a stunt. The gun's unloaded. They have it, whatever. And then the cameraman keeps filming and Joe starts to walk towards him. And then Joe cracks off around like directly over the dude's head.
Yeah.
And then,
what?
Yeah, like three episodes later, he's talking about his mother-in-law who works at the zoo as well, and he's got a shotgun, and he's shooting rounds at her feet and over her head. Like, what the fuck, you fucking moron?
Yeah, it's insane. It's amazing that only one person got their head blown off in that place.
No, it really is. One last thing about that, I guess it's not the last thing, but one of the things about that too, is there's a scene where he's filming indoors in his studio. If you saw me, air quote, studio. And he's got that Carol Baskin's blow up doll thing. And he shoots that inside the studio.
In a building. Yeah.
In a building. Like, it's this dude. I don't even know what
to do. All I was thinking when he did that was that had to hurt their ears so bad.
Well, so I thought obviously the noise because it's got to be loud. But then the path of that projectile, like that bullet's going somewhere.
Yeah. Right. After it leaves the roof, the ceiling, it's going somewhere, the wall. Yeah, it's insane. And that it's funny you say, like, that what you, of course, it's pretty common knowledge, but like the way you describe gun safety, I, you know, it's part of our, you know, quarantine. We've Becky and I decided it's going to be Little House on the Prairie up on this bitch before this is over. Like, we're not letting the kids stay inside. You know, I took the boys out fishing the other day. We've been out riding four wheelers and, and doing some small game hunting and things like that. But I took the boys out to just do some target shooting the other day. And if you ask my 9-year old what's rule number one about guns, he'll tell you they're always loaded.
Yes.
And what's rule number two? Never point a gun at anything you don't want to shoot. And rule number three, never put your finger on the trigger unless you're ready to pull it. So
yep.
So even my 9-year old knows those things about gun safety. And this idiot is the whole, not just him, all of them, but mostly him, is just using guns like they're toys. It's crazy. I'm actually kind of glad that, that was a bad way to phrase that. I was going to say, I'm not glad that the young man shot himself in the head. What I'm glad about is that it was captured on film, for the fact that obviously my 9-year-old is not watching this, but my 15-year-old watched it.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about it. And I was like, okay, that's a lesson to you. What is rule number one? It's like, the gun is always loaded. Right. Like that's why that shit happens. That's uh-huh. why we have these rules. That's why these are the safety precautions we take around guns, because that guy thought the gun wasn't loaded, didn't follow rule number one, and look what happened.
The thing that kills me too about Joe is I understand them carrying guns. I mean, they are working with big cats. If something got out of control, you need to be able to neutralize the situation, we'll say. But Joe carried an antique revolver.
Right. Cowboy gun, tie down gun.
Yeah. What? Why that? You're just asking for trouble. You're asking for, I don't know. I don't know what you're asking for at this point. It's a mess.
It was part of his cowboy costume.
Yeah, he really thought he was a cowboy.
Yeah. But, you know, so, I mean, we're getting to the point where we should wrap this up here pretty quick, but I kind of want to circle back to the...
I got two things we still need to talk about before we get off here.
Let's circle back to this thing first, because I don't want to lose track of it. One thing I want to know is, and when you're bringing up your things, I'm going to look this up. I don't want to forget it again, is who the hell profited off this, and where did the footage come from?
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's a big one. Now, what are the two things you got left?
Real simple things, one of which is that damn eyebrow ring that is just seemingly not hanging on, but is there the whole time. Like, how does that thing pierce so shallow that it's just hanging there?
Can I tell you real quick that when I started typing into my Google search, where did the footage, the number one search suggestion that popped up is for the Tiger King come from?
Good.
All right, go ahead.
And then the number two thing I wanted to bring up, which is no way we cannot leave without talking about this, is the husband that killed himself, Travis Maldonado. They had a funeral for him, a funeral service at the park.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they let Joe speak with his mother-in-law, with Travis's mother in there. And Joe goes into this speech about Travis's balls. So he's talking about his husband's balls in front of his mother-in-law at his husband's funeral, talking about him rubbing the balls on his face, and he had glorious balls. What in the world is happening?
And then started singing a song?
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. It's all so cringy and crazy. Like, it's just, again, if you haven't watched it, you need to. I'll tell you this, it's not going to add anything to your fucking life. Like, you're not going to come away from this a better fucking person for watching The Tiger King.
You know what it did to me? You just got to see.
What's that?
I think it had the opposite effect on me. And maybe this makes me a bad person. I think the idea of it was to show these people in a bad light and they're like, you shouldn't do this. But all it showed me is if I have $2,000, I could buy a tiger.
Becky said the same thing. She was like, are you fucking kidding me? For the price of a, you know, you can either buy like an English Mastiff or a fucking tiger.
Yeah, a tiger.
For about the same price. You know what I want?
Go for it.
I want a red panda. I've always wanted a red panda. Do you think that cool. We can get a red panda?
I want a panda. I want like a black and white giant panda.
I heard those are like mean.
Yeah, they probably are, but I love them. But a red panda, I think. I know where
red
we could find one.
Are adorable.
The zoo down the road from your house has one.
I know. I've been to it several, and every time I watch them, I think, I want a red panda. And I bet that you can, I never really was clear. Do you know, like, the exotic animal law? Like, I have friends that own bobcats as pets.
Yeah, I don't know the law. I think you have to get some kind of licensing.
something. Because yeah, obviously there's people that have monkeys. Mm-hmm. God, have you ever been in a store and somebody that has a monkey as, what's the term? Like assistance animals, what do you call them?
A service animal.
Service animal. They have a monkey as a service animal. I followed a woman in a wheelchair around a Martin supermarket one time for an hour and a half. Anyway, I'm not sure. This lady is one little motor, and she's like, get the soup. And the little monkey that's on a leash jumps off her shoulder onto the shelf, grabs the can of soup, jumps into her basket, puts in her basket, and hops back onto her shoulder. And then she drives up to the next thing. I just followed her all the way around the whole fucking store.
Did you have a weird moment of like weird pride too? When he is showing like his traveling tiger performance thing and it came to our local mall.
Oh, so the funny thing about that was I didn't remember that happened, but Becky was talking about it with her friend Crystal, and Crystal's like, I wonder if that's the guy. Remember like back years ago, somebody came to the Orchards Mall with tiger cubs you could pet? It was fucking him.
Yeah, it was like 15 years ago or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was right down the road. Is it legal to own a red panda?
Oh, now we're getting deep.
No panda pets. Their lives will be shorter and miserable to pets. I don't want to know if it's good for them. I want to know if I can do it. Moreover, buying a red panda is illegal. Red pandas are protected by law in the countries where they originate. They're also protected by the... What if a red panda happens to escape? From,
never mind. Found something.
I just saw a video of somebody who has a red panda as a pet, and good fucking Lord, it's so cute. But what if a red panda happens to escape from the Potawatomi Zoo that's right down the road from me, and then it happens to just like wander into my house, like our dog Mackenzie that just like adopts us? Like then it's okay, right?
I think that would be okay.
Well, that's what I want.
So one last thing for the Bob and Weave listeners: if you enjoyed the Tiger King, there's another documentary out there that you guys might enjoy, which is funny because your wife actually told my wife about it, but I've seen it once a month for the past 10 years, which is The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, which you can currently stream on Amazon Prime.
Is that a show or a documentary?
It's a documentary.
So, okay, that's the one I just looked. Becky, we were eating dinner the other day, and she had the screen paused.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what she's watching, and I had the title across the top, and it said the Wonderful Whites of whatever, and I said, well, that's fucking racist. What are you watching?
Yes. But
apparently Whites is their last name.
Whites is their last name. So that documentary came out like 10 years ago, and we actually have it at the shop. We watch it probably once a month because it's that ridiculous. And it's not a Netflix like parted series. It's like a 2-hour single part documentary. It's on Amazon. You can find it. The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. It's about the White family of West Virginia. And if you thought the Tiger King was ridiculous, you're going to love this.
So another crazy one.
Absolutely crazy.
Well, I'm sure I'll get sucked into watching that too as we remain on quarantine. Before we let you guys go, we want to make sure you guys know we love you. We're going to keep putting out content. We're going to, you know, our schedules are going to be a little weird. Next week is spring break, and we all had to cancel our spring breaks. But I think I'm going to take the wife and kids up to our cabin in northern Michigan and just have a different change of scenery. So we may not get something to you next week. We'll try if we can get something done earlier in the week. I think Zach doesn't have a lot going on, so we can probably arrange that, I think.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to check my schedule. It's pretty hectic right now. I mean, I got a lot of things in the books, so we'll see.
You've got to try to fit it in between your 2-hour workout and me stuffing my face.
Yep, and me looking at the wall.
Right. So you guys, stay home, stay safe. Zach, thanks for being my friend, buddy.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.